Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom Show, streaming live on BBS Radio from California and syndicating to over 100 stations globally. I'm your show host, Yvonne E. L. Silva. Welcome. My mission is uplifting the spirit of humanity, and I do that by showcasing amazing women who've risen from some sort of tragedy to triumph, from a point of chaos to confidence, and risen to success, and are now making a huge contribution to their community and globally. And today, I am delighted that my guest, Unstoppable Tracy, will be joining me. Are you there, Tracy?
Hello, hello, Yvonne. Oh, how wonderful to be unstoppable with you and your world.
Woohoo! So I'll do your formal introduction in just a moment. So for those of you that I haven't met, as a female founder and entrepreneur, a certified executive coach and chartered HR professional, I've helped thousands of people find excellent career choices, and in particular in the past 10 years, supported senior women excel in their leadership and especially in their confidence. So today, I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are ready to flourish in business, to expand and engage their team, to grow their business with ideal clients and have more sales, for a sustainable business that is fun. Because I believe we can have balance as female entrepreneurs, and we can be great role models for our children. So today, in total alignment with this confidence and this successful women entrepreneurs focus, I'm also inviting women who have a passion and making a massive difference in the world, and that's Tracy. So you're going to be blown away, because Tracy is not only a powerhouse when it comes to inspiration and motivation, she's been on amazing things. She's been a TV show host for The Unstoppable Tracy. She's been a TEDx speaker with over 60 million views in 2019. Wow! She's spoken in over 40 countries. Shared the stage and events with Dr. Phil, Jane Fonda, oh, you've never heard of these people, Mark Wahlberg, Mel Gibson, John Travolta, and dozens more, and of course, her listeners. So her story is mind-blowing, and I haven't seen you talk live. I have watched your TED Talk, and I totally understand why you would get standing ovations all the time, because you are literally going to be taking the audience out of their limitation zone. So when you appeared in Oprah magazine, not surprisingly, and Chatelaine, and then Thrive and other Business Booster Today, other magazines, as well as being seen on ABC or BBC, on CBC, and many more TV stations globally, it doesn't surprise me that you have become a major disruptor, resulting in outperforming in the stock market. And, oh, wait a minute, there's some other things here too. You've climbed the Himalaya mountains, captained tall ships in the Eastern Atlantic, and you are a decorated World Cup athlete in a male-dominated sport in sailing. Whoa! Oh, and there's more. A best-selling author on Amazon with your published book, Unstoppable You, Delivering the Limitless Secret, which was also endorsed by Chicken Soup for the Soul. So, woohoo! I forgot to mention an important point, but I'll let you do that in your introduction, Tracy, because I know from my own experience that when we put our minds to something, that we can absolutely be unstoppable. And I put it in a newsletter this morning, you know, basically there are no excuses. There are no excuses in life. And you are a perfect person to be describing that. So tell me a little bit about your background. And let's start with something that I think will be interesting to the audience, just to kind of set the stage and know where you came from. How was life for you growing up as a kid, Tracy?
Well, it worked out pretty phenomenally in many, many ways. It's kind of like the blessing in the badness, you know? And I don't know that I would call it bad. You know, we are all living in this world turned upside down. And there are obstacles and roadblocks, and we are just faced with a complete blindsiding new every day. And I am learned that people are going to say no, people are going to underestimate you and have things you want really badly. And because you've got the naivety of youth, you believe anything is possible, you go for it. And so I'm kind of the blessing and the badness of right now is that this moment, this world, this 28 days of quarantine, and some of us 21 and some of us 14 days, but you know, most of us in and amongst about a month now, that is doing what I always did. Like, so for example, when I went to that story with 60 million viral views, was about going to kindergarten and facing a principal. And all summer I was told I get to go to school today. And then the principal said to my mom and I, "You can't go." Mm-hmm. And so you can imagine a five-year-old's just heartbroken. What do you mean? And you could picture like a mother saying, "What do you mean my five-year-old can't come?" But she didn't. My mom taught me that day a massive workaround skill that's going to work for all of us, whether we're a corporation, an entrepreneur, a young starter, a mature restarter, all of us restarting right now. She just asked the principal, she said, "How come?" With the friendliest voice ever. And she didn't say why, because why is like a trigger word.
Yep.
And so what kind of language? And now we're all on the telephone and we're all doing Zoom and we're all remotely building relationships. And I hope you are.
Absolutely.
And the kinds of words we use are even more important. And so are they trigger words? And so mom just said, "How come?" And that genuine, authentic seeking to understand where he's coming from was just so helpful. And he said, "Well, you know, Tracy's got no hands, and there's only one teacher in the 70s, and she's not going to be able to help Tracy tie her shoelace with 30 kids. Tracy's got no legs, and she's not going to be able to go help her in the washroom with no legs. She can't leave those 30 kids alone." So you see, he wasn't being a bad guy. He was just, you know, doing his best, trying to make it work, but he couldn't with one teacher. And so my mom said, "I totally understand." And then she counteroffers. She says, "Do you think since we're here today, can you give me a week to try to find a school suited for Tracy? And if it doesn't work out, on Friday, we will go to that other school."
Right.
"But can we just try?" So the principal said, "Sure." And that was great. And so mom and I walk around to the side of the school where the kindergarten kids let in, and she looks out at the schoolyard and there's a gazillion and one kids. And she's, you know, flabbergasted. "Oh no, what's going to happen?" And my mom dropped to her knees, and I'm 5 years old and I'm wondering why my mom is on her knees in front of the entire school on the cement. And what I'm not thinking of is, of course, she's looking me eye to eye.
Right.
And so she's looking me eye to eye. She grabs my arms, you know, that five-finger grip, gripping the tops of your kid's arms, trying to make the focus. And she's looking me deeply in my eyes, on her knees, and she says, "Tracy, it's really important that you and everybody's included, nobody left behind."
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm 5 years old. I don't know why my mom's so serious. And I turn and I look, and the principal's like practically crying. I can see the tears welling up in his eyes. I have no idea why he's all welled up. I just want to go play. I say, "Okay, mom," and I run off. Well, of course, the principal now wants me to stay. So fast forward to recess time. He's so excited. He runs outside, because if I'm in the schoolyard, I get to stay. Right, if I'm independent.
Yep.
He can't find me anywhere. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, the recess bell goes off. I'm not anywhere. He's devastated. He doesn't know what he's going to tell my mom. So he runs inside to find my teacher. He's like, "I got to find out what happened, because I don't know how to tell Tracy's mom she can't stay." So he asked the teacher what happened. And the teacher said, "Oh, one of the kids couldn't tie her shoelace, so Tracy gave her a hand." And it turns out none of the 30 kids could tie a shoelace.
Of course. course not.
So I run around in tie 30 shoelaces, and that's why I wasn't outside. So how come the only child with no hands is the only child required to be able to tie their shoelaces?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what's going on for all of us. We've all kind of got our regular ways of working. Our norm is disrupted, and we need to boycott it because this is the blindsiding we've been given.
Yeah.
And we can do it. And my mom, the solution is, my mom didn't say she can tie her shoelaces when she asked how come.
Right.
She heard the principal say he was worried about being stuck with me. She counteroffered, if it doesn't work out, no problem.
Yeah.
So we've got to be careful that we're really, really listening. We're listening deeply, and that we counteroffer, what's the pain right now? What's the need right now? What are they saying? What are your people in your world saying they need from you? And it's not to tie their shoelaces anymore. It's not to be on their stage. It's not to coach them the way you've always coached them. It's not to be who you've always been. You've got to figure out how come, what's their current pain and their current, even disgust with themselves. Like, some people are heartbroken and not getting out of beds and watching Netflix. You know what Netflix is? Netflix is Brokeflix. Netflix. And so, by all means, we need some sanity, right? It's, if you're dieting and you're watching Netflix and you're having a sleep in or two, we do need some sanity. And so, okay, you cheat on your diet, or you cheat on your exercise, or you cheat with a sleep in. But Netflix is Brokeflix. Everything in moderation. Fill your soul with that cheater ice cream or that cheater movie, but get off your couch, get out of your bed, get out of your pajamas, and like I did for all of you, even though you can't see me, I'm all dolled up just in case, you know, and you make an effort, and you ask how come, and you speak to the other person's listening. My mom said to the principal, how come? And he said he's worried about being stuck with me. Not directly, but in so many words. But he was too disgusted with himself to say that directly.
Yeah.
So you've got to listen for the hidden message, and then you counteroffer what they want.
Absolutely.
And then you give them what they need.
Yeah.
But you counteroffer what they want. She didn't tell him I could tie my shoelaces, even though that's what he said.
Right.
She counteroffered, you won't be stuck with her. We'll leave on Friday if it doesn't work.
Well, I don't know if you know this about me, but I am also the mother for a special needs child. So I totally, I totally get what you're saying. And, you know, certainly when Alex was growing up, I mean, he's almost 25 now. Well, I don't know how that happened. but as
well, you had him when you were four, so you're 29, right?
Yeah. But as a kid, I mean, I know we had to go to bat for him and make sure that he was getting the schooling that he needed and the best experience to support him. And I remember we looked at all kinds of schools. One of them was a private school. It was going to cost about $12,000 Canadian dollars a year. And even with that fee, they still couldn't guarantee that they would be able to give him a spot. So when they said special needs, what they really meant was, oh, gifted. But they didn't say that. So, you know, when we actually went and had the meeting, and they started saying, yeah, you know, all of our kids sit in rows like this, and they sit at desks. And I'm like, that's not going to work for Alex. So we were lucky enough to have a chance to get him into a system where he was in a class of six with a teacher and two aides. So he really had a low ratio, and he did really well. And, you know, some of the things they never thought that he was going to be able to do, he did. And we ended up together, couple of years ago doing an audition for Dragon's Den, and that was for his artwork. He started painting and loved painting, decided one day he was going to, when he saw an Operation Smile telethon on TV, decided he was going to sell his art and raise money so that he could pay for smiles for kids. And so that was the reason that we were doing a Dragon's Den audition, to try to help him, you know, get out as a speaker, have a little book, talk about his message, which is basically that, you know, anyone can make a difference. It doesn't matter who you are, anyone, if I can make a difference and, you know, pay for five kids to have their smiles fixed, then anyone can make a difference. So, yeah, I'm so glad that you were able to join me, because I was curious about, you know, some of the myths that you've had to overcome. I mean, when I said saw four times or four-way amputee, I wasn't sure if you were born with arms and legs and then something happened, or whether that was the beautiful way that you were born. So,
you know, I was born this way, and I was born exactly the way I was meant to be.
Yeah.
And I know, and I don't want to be any other way. I'm too young for the thalidomide drug. The arms and legs just didn't grow.
Right.
But, you know, I'm the first one in my family to go on to get a master's in business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the only one in my family that, you know, 2020, I was in 20 countries. I'm a speaker in 40 countries, and since Christmas, I was in 20 cities,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, ski and sail and scuba dive and fly airplanes. And for New Year's, my resolution with New Year's had to do with diving, and I did my 100th dive 100 feet deep. And I have a magical family, but if it wasn't for being born a four-way amputee, there wouldn't have been that unstoppable, I can do it, I can do it, I can get that cookie, and I can get into kindergarten. And every time somebody says, you can't, just like any child, except they were bigger, loftier, I can't,
yep.
You can't, that I had that resiliency to say, what do you mean, right? Like, and overcome it. And mm-hmm. and I was blessed to have a British, hearing your beautiful British accent, a British mother. My mother was from Liverpool, is from Liverpool, living in Canada now. And as you know, because you're from there, but for the rest of our listeners from around the world, Liverpoolians are kind of these tough lovers, right? They're so funny, but in a dark, sarcastic kind of way, because there were many, many strikes, and there was a lot of poverty after the war, and then people were really vehement for their rights, and they put a whole bunch of factories out of business because they had such great unions. So they got their rights met, but then they put the business out under with bankruptcy. It was this very impoverished town. They're famous for scouse. My mom's a scouser, and scousers call it stew. local Liverpoolians, and my mother to this day defends it. But anybody from outside of Liverpool calls it dishwater, because it's not really anything in it, because they didn't have very much when they made this terrible scouse broth. And so my mom's way of being was, of course you got to tie your shoelaces. Right, I couldn't tie my shoelaces I could tie my shoelaces as a 5-year-old, just like my sister, who was 4 years old, could too, you know. And we were the only two kids that went to school with. And now my niece and nephew, and they're older grades, and they still can't tie their shoelaces. I just had that tough love mom that said a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old's got to make their beds, and they got to tie their shoelaces, and you got to suck it up, Buttercup, and make it work. And I'm glad that that was not an overprotective mother upbringing. Like, I think there's no coincidence that I had a Liverpoolian mother and a German father, you know, and so it worked out perfectly to grow up to be a World Cup sailor, where I'm kicking butt against able-bodied men, 27 able-bodied men.
Absolutely.
Yes, I was competing for the Paralympic trials. To compete with my Paralympians, I sailed in able-bodied regattas, and it was pretty good for my dating life too, by the way.
Okay. Because you were surrounded by so many men and appearing so confident and being so confident.
And it's a male-dominated sport, and there weren't a lot of women around.
Exactly.
So there was slim pickings, although I'm sure they would have picked me anyway.
Mm-hmm. So how have these experiences shaped your wisdom around the topic of resilience, particularly for women? Because that's my passion, that's my audience, those are the groups that I support primarily, as women entrepreneurs, leaders, and founders. So, yeah, how have these experiences shaped your wisdom about resilience for women in particular?
Well, in that, right? So what's great, women are the leaders of the world, and we, you know this, and I know this, especially anyone flourishing with Yvonne Silver in her world know this. And that's, and I'm name dropping her Facebook page. Be sure to like her Facebook page, folks, Flourish with Yvonne Silver, because I'm flourishing with Yvonne Silver. And women are comrades, and learning that nothing about us without us, that work, you know, you talk about your son and talking about, you identified with my story of advocating for a person with a disability, but it's also women, and it takes women to know women, and exceeding uncertainty and being underestimated as a person with a disability, like in the sailing world, on that start line did a massive favor for me.
Mm-hmm.
They completely underestimated me and didn't believe I could do it, and I smoked them when the gun goes off on the start line in a sailboat, because they're not looking out for me. And
right.
And that's, they could physically outperform me with their big Viking-like muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But I outbrained them and out-strategized them and was able to take advantage of being underestimated on that start line. And having that success gave me a confidence. But, you know, when I started sailing, I was in a boat, and I kind of feel like I'm in a boat again. I'm in this apartment, me, myself, and I, and my little fish. But I didn't have a fish 4 weeks ago. I've got a fish for company because it is so lonely being alone. Or maybe you only have your husbands and your children with you in your homes, but small numbers, and you're isolated. And in a boat, you're all alone, either with your immediate crew or just yourself. And when I started without my legs, because my legs end above me, I kept falling out of the boat.
Right.
And I failed that first summer. All of the other kids got their white seal level one. I was the only one that didn't get it. But I kept climbing back in that boat. And when I learned to climb in the back in the boat, I learned to balance in the boat by looking ahead, by looking out on the waters and looking where the turbulence was so that I could plan for the turbulence and I could balance for the turbulence.
Right.
And it ended up giving me this advanced study skill. Mm-hmm. All the other kids are still like their white seal level beginner one that I failed the first year. But the second year when I could balance in the boat, I got my white seal level one. But unlike all the rest of the kids, I got my white seal level 2, 3, 4 because I was reading the water. I was reading the wind.
Yeah.
And I could, and I needed to, I had to survive to be able to balance in the boat with no legs.
Right.
But it gave me an advantage because it forced me to expedite my learning in other areas in order to sail, right, in order to not fall out of the boat. And that's what this is right now. We're all in our little boats in our homes, and we're being forced to exponentially learn new skills, but it's going to skyrocket and thrive your business. And I didn't get my white seal level one. I failed that first summer. I spent 90 days that summer falling out of a boat. And that's kind of where we're all at, 30 days in approximately, give or take. And we're falling out of our boats, and we're just figuring out how to thrive. But we just keep, people that are flourishing with Yvonne Silver just keep climbing back in their boat and climbing back in and listening in and tuning in on BBS with Yvonne so that we keep getting all the skills we need to flourish so that we are going to thrive. And we've got this forced circumstance, like I was forced falling out of the boat. You're forced. We're all forced with COVID to thrive now, but I didn't do it alone, right? I had a sailing instructor that believed, even though I was falling out of the boat, that I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've got Yvonne Silver, who believes I can do it and invites me in with you. And Air Canada believed, when they had a pilot strike, that I could break through their pilot strike. And it was as a woman, they had all these male facilitators, and it was as a woman who was willing to say, what's going on in your world?
Mm-hmm.
And I could listen to the pilot strike and hear where they were coming from, seeking first to be understood,
right,
before from them, understand where they were coming from so that we could end the pilot strike. And with Uber, when Uber was trying to break into Canada, they brought me in as a woman facilitator when they'd had a whole bunch of male facilitators seeking to understand first what's going on. You know, all the taxi drivers were boycotting it, of course, because they thought they lost income.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that they thought they lost income was that the licensed medallion owners were telling them that. And the licensed medallion owners weren't telling them that they have a monopoly on these licenses. And so that's why it's so expensive to get a license to drive a taxi, is because they've been paying people under the table that keep this medallion system. And so we don't have enough taxis. So they have this monopoly, and that's why it's expensive. And when we brought Uber in, everybody, taxi drivers included, because the medallion system was broken and corrupt all around the world, that when we broke that corrupt medallion system, taxi drivers could earn money from hailing impromptu off the street on demand rides, and Uber could also earn money. There was room for all of them, and Lyft, and all of them, because we changed it. Taxi drivers couldn't keep affording the business the way they were operating, but they were operating with a corrupt medallion monopoly system. Right. When you remove the medallion system, you remove the expensive fees, and now you've got an equal playing field again. And I broke Uber into Canada because they thought they were going to say no, and I was afraid because all the accessible transportation systems, you can't get them on demand, and right. you can't get taxis on demand that are accessible for wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. So I went down to our city hall and I said, without Uber, you lose Uber's wheelchair accessible vehicles, and you lose Uber's Uber Assist, and you lose Uber's assistance for people with disabilities that's grossly transportation deficit. And Canada is pretty good, but all around the world, transportation is one of the biggest roadblocks for people with disabilities.
Absolutely.
And that ended up, and so that minority created a vehicle to make Uber able to access for all in Canada, yeah. accessible for all. And so that idea of a woman conversation is parallel. We have unique conversations that end up winning pilot strikes for all, Uber for all. You know, our lessons as women to seek first to understand,
yep.
and our relationship elevated skills, the bigger parts of our brains proven that our brains are bigger in those areas. Those are the skills for breakthrough. And right now, relationship is key.
Absolutely.
Right now, women are what's going to save the world with your relationship skills and your unique ability to break through and be underestimated and come up with new ways of conversations. We're going to thrive as women. It's going to be women that are going to bring us out of COVID.
Well, woohoo! It doesn't surprise me that you are saying that. Certainly, I've always believed that. You know, sorry for the guys that are listening to this call, but you know, women were selected to have babies for a reason, because it does take strength, and it's called labor for a reason. It's not like an easy thing for most women. You just, you know, pop out a kid. There's a lot more. There's a lot more pain and suffering that goes into that. And that's, you know, that's assuming that everything goes well, and it doesn't always go well. One of the things that I've started doing for this period of time, I'm not sure how long I'm going to continue it for, but I started doing a word of the day, and I've been posting that on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and I was thinking this morning about what word am I going to post, knowing that we were having our interview today, and I decided I was going to post the word endeavor. Because I believe that a coach, you know, fosters explorations, exploring skills and passions and abilities, things that you enjoy, and helps you to identify new ways to leverage these for more joy and more fulfillment. So obviously endeavor is about exerting oneself in earnest to achieve something, striving, making an effort. So my question was, you know, what's bubbling up in your awareness this week after the renewal of a spring weekend? What is possible now with focus and a little effort and thinking outside the box? And as you and I have talked about, you know, the box, the shape, the size, and what's inside has changed over the past 5 weeks to a world that many don't even recognize. And yet this brings so much opportunity to recreate a better outcome for ourselves. So my final question was, what's possible now for you? So in your case, you've already achieved so much. I'm glad to hear that in addition to, you know, potentially, there's lots of speaking gigs that aren't happening with large crowds right now, but I'm particularly impressed that you're doing this kind of work as well, really tapping into what your gifts are. I mean, Uber, that was something that was a necessity for you, but the Air Canada project and doing some consulting for that, you know, the listening piece is a really important piece. And I noticed Air Shoppers Drug Mart as well. So I was curious what you did with Shoppers Drug Mart, because they're such a big fan for women and women's health.
Yes, it's their number one cause. Mm-hmm. And so right before COVID hit, what's surprising is that I was on a large stage for them. Now, Shoppers Drug Mart, this is what's so great is I was on a large stage for Loblaws, who bought Shoppers, and part of that is because of a breakdown. So it's Shoppers Drug Mart. Shoppers Drug Mart is Boots in the United Kingdom.
Right.
It is Walgreens in the United States. For those of you listening around the world, Shoppers Drug Mart is Canada's Walgreens and Boots.
Right.
And 55% of their profits were pharmaceuticals. And in Canada, there was a time when our federal government funded our pharmaceuticals for us. And overnight, they cut the funding to pharmaceuticals. So overnight, our national pharmaceutical, Walgreens, Uber, Boots, or Shoppers, overnight that 55% goes to zero, right? And so overnight, you think we're going to go bankrupt. And overnight, our balance sheets are going in the red. And what are we going to do? And that's kind of like all of us. We're all going in the red overnight. I had 24 stages cancel. I had $200,000 worth of income cancel in 3 days overnight. And just like Shoppers did. And so what I did, like I did with the Shoppers, is at Shoppers, nothing about us without us. We need to engage. What are the pains going on? And what are the solutions for those that you're working with? So at Shoppers, we brought in the people that were in the various departments and working in the stores. And they brought me in as a facilitator to say, what are some solutions? You know, what you focus on grows. If you focus on what's the problem here,
right?
What you're going to see is what's the problem here.
Yep.
But if you focus on what were solutions last time you had a problem, what you're going to find are solutions when you have a problem. Like, you've heard a couple of my stories. Mm-hmm. You have stories too. What's in common with our stories was resilience and tenacity and who we surround ourselves with. So I surrounded myself with some of the top performers at Shoppers Drug Mart. Like many of your listeners are surrounding themselves with top performer you, Yvonne, and top performer Unstoppable Tracy.
Woo-hoo.
Surround yourself with great people and gather feedback. So surrounded all the great people at Shoppers Drug Mart and said, what do you think? And they said, increase beauty items. Mm-hmm. I mean, people never listen to, just like women, just like, or men that are new to a field, or somebody that doesn't have an MBA, or somebody who, you know, is near retirement, or all these excuses that we have that are very real reasons and people underestimate. But so beauticians in a store that do makeovers and do makeup for people in a store, they think, oh, they're just somebody that couldn't get great grades in school, so they did makeup.
No.
Well, right? That's not true. I asked these guys, what do they think? And they said, I don't understand. 33% markup on beauty items in stores. I don't understand why. It is the number one biggest marked up item in our entire store. And we never pay attention to the beauty items in our store. And so what did we do? We increased beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And the food people said, you know, people run in for milk, for a $2 bag of milk, you know, $4 bag of milk, but they walk and they generally spend an average spend of $65. But their sole reason was coming was milk. Why don't we do more food?
Right.
So we increased food. And as you said, most of our shoppers at Walgreens, at Boots, at Shoppers Drug Mart is women, and women with babies particularly.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we increase more baby items? Who needs convenience? Who doesn't have time to walk around forever? Who's spending a little bit more on the easy access corner store Shoppers,
right?
Boots and Walgreens, right? They're not really for cheap. They are for convenience. That's their real brand, is convenience.
Yep.
Well, it's moms, because they need to be in and out quickly with their baby. And so we increased baby items. Well, shame on Shoppers Drug Mart for not making more money in food and beauty and baby, because we outperformed the stock market. But we wouldn't have done that had they not cut pharmaceutical reform, had they not cut the pharmaceutical funding here in Canada for us to discover that. Well, that was ages ago. So we went from a Shoppers Drug Mart, and then we went in the red with pharmacy, but we outperformed stock market in food, beauty, and baby. And we went so well in expanding and outperforming the stock market that Shoppers Drug Mart was very shortly, a few years later, bought by Loblaws, because right. now we were a food threat. Mm-hmm. And Loblaws in Canada is the big food industry. Yep. So because we're a food, better to, if you can't beat them, join them. So Loblaws bought Shoppers, which is just wacky. It's hard to imagine. And now we're part of Joe's, which is a clothing line, and Holt, which is a men's clothes line, right. and all these different companies. And, you know, I thought, what am I going to do? I was in 20 countries in 2020. What am I going to do? Well, today, just today, I'm with Britain, I'm with US, I'm with Canada on three different calls like this one around the world. And I'm doing it from my living room. And that's a lot more fun than being on a plane jet lagged for 365 days a year. I got to tell you. So it's amazing that what has it done for my business is it's reframed. I wouldn't be able to keep up that for 3 years from 2017. In 2017, I five times my income. In 2018, I doubled it. 2019, I doubled it again. And so, which is great that it was this 3 year of skyrocketing success, but I worked Christmas, I worked New Year's, I worked Easter, I worked 364 days a year, right. if I include the days of travel.
Yep.
Right. And so it was great to be skyrocketing, but I was really approaching burnout. Well, COVID forced me to regroup and rejuvenate. And I was traveling when COVID hit. And I had to go home and quarantine for 14 days, even from my mom and my family, right? Mm-hmm. I could be around nobody. And so it rejuvenated me. And I was so busy that I wasn't able to reinvent other passive income. I wasn't able to create other ways of paying my mortgage and my mother's mortgage and make a difference, because I'm also really big about making a difference in the world, right? A lot of the reasons I'm super busy is that I won't say no as well to the schools that ask me and the churches that ask me and the hospitals that ask me. So if I come to speak in Wales for a millionaires network, I'll speak to the millionaires network, but they paid to fly me there and to pay for my fancy hotel. Mm-hmm. But while I was there, I spoke to a dozen schools a couple days before and a couple days after as well. And I went to speak to the veterans for three or four different rehab locations.
Right.
So it's self-inflicted to make a difference. But I need oxygen first before I can give oxygen to somebody else, that airplane metaphor.
Yep.
You know, and so I can make a difference to a lot more people if I take care of myself.
Absolutely.
And so I can't make a difference to veterans in Wales if I'm not getting paid to get there. But once I'm paid to get there, I'll make a difference, you know?
I do.
And so we do need to take care of ourselves. And so I just got off of a call, and the person that followed up after me, she said the money's out there. You know, people, we're not all broke. There is a big impact, and there is probably going to be a recession afterwards, but not for the kinds of things that the people flourishing with a bond do. And not if you flourish with a bond and you stay unstoppable with Tracy.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many messages here. I mean, I've got my pad and I'm circling things. You know, certainly when it comes to the power of language and how one word can make such a huge difference. I talk about not using the word why in my book as well, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. And yeah. What I found is, you know, when we go to why, it usually puts people's backs up because they feel that they have to explain themselves and they get defensive. So I will always say, find a way to ask the same question with a how, which is exactly what your mum did. And, you know, how could Tracy actually be in this school? And you, I don't know how you tied your shoelaces without having fingers to do that. But anyway,
I could tie a shoelace for you. I could show you.
Oh my gosh.
I will search and see if anybody has video. Whenever I'm in schools, teachers are constantly filming me tie, because you know the first question that children ask me, they don't ask me what happened to your arms and legs.
Yeah.
They asked me, how do you tie your shoelace?
How do you tie your
shoelace? I end up doing this big shoelace demo in front of an audience of 400 to 1,000 kids, you know. Yeah. But adults are too shy to ask that question.
Yeah. So the how piece is so relevant right now. I'm so glad that we got a chance to connect today. We just have a few more minutes left. And I'm so glad to hear that you have figured out, and it doesn't surprise me in the least, what I'm telling my clients to do is basically, you know, unbundle all of the skills that you bring to your business and repackage them together in a new way. So in your case, you had to be finely attuned in sailing to watching where the water was flowing and to be able to read the turbulence that was coming up. And now you've taken that same skill, the ability to pay attention to the details and look at how can you still ride the waves in business. So I love the fact that you've pivoted and you're doing more of those consulting contracts, because nobody could see you walking in and say to themselves, we can't find a solution, we can't figure it out. I mean, there's no friggin' way.
No, I can do it, you can do it.
Exactly. I mean, there really is no excuse that makes any sense. And so you have such a beautiful playing field of openness. One of my favorite questions too is, I'm curious. And when you come from that place of, you know, curiosity and being willing to brainstorm and open things up, you have a much different response. My book, I talk about the concept of appreciative inquiry. So instead of going into a potential client meeting and asking them, you know, what's keeping you up at night, I always, you know, when I ask that in the past, I see their shoulders drop and the energy drains right out of them. So instead, I start with what's working really well. And how could it be even better? Which is a appreciative inquiry. Thanks, David Cooper Ryder, for bringing that concept to life.
It is. I love that. Right? Exactly where I'm getting that content from. That appreciate, grateful, positive inquiry, investigate data, ask questions,
exactly.
You know, find the information.
Yeah.
It's totally like water, right? You got hydrogen, you got oxygen. And they're great solo, but when you put them together, the magic of hydration or discovery. Oh my gosh, right? That appreciative inquiry.
Yep. And then as a coach,
I mean,
I follow it up with, you know, after, you know, they share a little bit about how it could be even better. I would just say, you know, can I share a little bit about what I do? Because I think I can help you get there faster. And then together for the next few minutes, we co-create a better solution because we're bringing our minds to the party. And I never have any objections because there's nothing to object to. Because we're co-creating, right?
Right.
So listen, this has been delightful. I'm sure that people will want to keep in touch with you. So as we wrap up here, you know, sometimes my guests have a gift that they want to share with people as a way to keep in touch. I don't know if you have a gift. We didn't really talk about that because we had some Zoom challenges getting started. But is there something that you wanted to share with the listeners before we go?
Absolutely. If you visit unstoppabletracy.com and you share your email, I will share with people Unstoppable You. And it has the kindergarten story, but what it has at the end of every chapter are reusable coaching questions. So first you can do it for yourself, because I'm not about inspiration or motivation, actually. I feel like you can get inspired, you can get motivated, but then you get in the shower and it washes away.
Mm.
You need to be inspired and take action. And
yeah.
You need to be continuously inspired to make it stick.
Right.
And so the book, every chapter has questions to ask you what's working, which is doing the flourish with Yvonne's style of appreciative inquiry. Yvonne saying, what did you do that was super successful, right? Well, so it's asking you questions like that, and then you reflect on that, and then I ask you, so what success factor are you going to bring forward to your current obstacle?
Right.
How can you help use this story to help you move forward? And that's just, for example, one chapter's question. But the other bonus is that not only can you leverage this sticking power for yourself by following these stories and 10 more stories in this book, is that there's questions to ask yourself to stick, but also repurpose those questions. If you're a coach, or if you're a mom, or if you're a manager of others, or if you lead a team of volunteers, or you're making a difference in your church,
right,
use these questions as tools for you to also create an unstoppable world.
Woohoo!
If you want to be unstoppable, surround yourself with unstoppable people like Yvonne and Tracy, right? I'm so lucky that Yvonne surrounded herself with me, and I'm surrounded with Yvonne today, because you can hear our energy. You can hear how we're feeding off each other. We're both ramped up and excited.
Woo!
And that's what you want to do, is create an unstoppable world. So these questions will help you create that energy with the people around you as well.
So unstoppableyou.com, and that is an ebook.
Actually, UnstoppableTracy.com.
UnstoppableTracy.com.
You can go to Unstoppable You, Unstoppable You book, but you can go to Unstoppable Tracy everywhere, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram.
Okay.
Unstoppable Tracy.
I will put that link in the box because we have to wrap up. And
okay.
I'll also put in the box, when I do the replay for this, the link to pick up a free 3-chapter excerpt of my book, which is Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. I also have questions at action steps at the end of exploring 40 different words and word concepts to help women elevate their confidence. That is what that book's all about.
So generous.
Yay! And it's at wordswomenandwisdom.com. Wordswomenandwisdom.com. You'll see the link on there. And there's a little video about the book. So with that said, we're just over the hour. I will let you go. I know you've got lots on the plate. Delighted to talk with you, Tracy, and I will share the replay link with you once that's up.
Fabulous.
Have a beautiful day.
Have a beautiful, unstoppable day.
Bye for now, everyone.
Bye for now, everyone.
Bye.